gathering people, not under our banner, but under the journey that we're on, that we see the Holy Spirit gathering people together who are hungry and thirsty for Him. And as they come together, then He's pouring His Spirit out. So all our messages, everything that we tend to share in experiencing God is intentional and directed towards that destination, which is experiencing God. So tonight's title is Experiencing God, Equipped for Everything. And I'd really encourage you, if you have Bibles or apps, to have them out. We are going to, when Colin said inflame his words, I always thought of words as, you know, inflammatory, as in a negative context. But actually, what I want to do is inflame you with the truth of this. I want to pummel you with this by the word and convict you by the Spirit on the words that I give. The text that we're going to use tonight is from 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Equipped for everything. What do we mean by everything? The dictionary says all things. That's all it says, all things. In the thesaurus, it says each item, each thing, every single thing, the lot, the whole lot, all. In formal slang almost, the whole kit and caboodle, the whole shebang, the whole shamir, the whole ball of wax, the whole nine yards. Everything, all, total. What do we mean by equipped? The dictionary says supply with the necessary items for a particular purpose. Or the thesaurus says provide, furnish, supply, issue, stock, provision, arm, endow, rig. There's not a lot of room for maneuver there. Equipped for everything. So from that passage, the first thing I want to draw it from, we are equipped for everything by His divine power. Not Northern Irish power, but His divine power, heavenly power. Not ours, His. We have everything by the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Peter stood up in Acts 2 in the day of Pentecost, and he said, this is that. This being what's happening in the outpouring of the Spirit, is that Joel 2. And he quotes Joel 2 and he says, in the last day, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, all people. We have everything for everyone. Later in that chapter, he says, the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And this divine power is not a little power. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 1, 17 to 21. Get this. Get the expansion of this. Get inflamed by this. Get pummeled by this. Get convicted by this. This power that we're equipped with. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same. Whoa! That power is the same. As the same as what? As the mighty strength unto what? Just gets better and better. The mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. The same power. We have access to the divine power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. We are equipped for everything. We are equipped for everything by His divine power. Secondly, we are equipped for everything through knowledge of Him. We have everything we need for a relationship with Him. Psalm 87 verse 7 says, "All my springs are in you." Or in the Amplified it says, "All my springs, my sources of life and joy are in you." John 6:63, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing." Jesus said in John 14:6-7, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You know that bit. "No one comes to the Father except through me." We tend to forget the next bit though, or it doesn't impact us. "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Now, when it talks about knowledge in the Bible, it always talks about connected knowledge. Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. Our church has been going through a very interesting time in the last number of months. Our previous minister of 20 years, Marishina Stanfield, got called to First Bangor. And so, as Presbyterians, we became vacant. And what happens then is we discover that we're Presbyterians because there's a Presbyterian lockdown. Because we are part of the presbytery, they come and they basically take over to let us then choose and select by discernment of the Spirit who our next minister is going to be. Well, we let it be known. We get permission from presbytery and the union commission that we can call someone. And then it, in layman's terms, goes out to tender. Okay, and we had 17 people interested. Now, of the 17 people interested, we actually interviewed 12 because a lot of the 17 were the new assistants that are coming out of the college. So they are called other churches and then come off the list. We had 12 that we interviewed. We then selected 3 to come back for interview. And then as the eldership, I'm an elder there in First Presbyterian Ballinahinch, we are charged with producing a list. The list can be 4 people or it can be 1 people, 1 person. We put it to the congregation and then the congregation decide by vote as to whether which one on the list it is. But we had a list of 1. We produced 1 person. So the 1 person comes, a Mr. Andy Galbraith, on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening and preaches with his family. Before he comes, there's printout for the 2 weeks beforehand of his profile. And so everybody's going, "Oh, I wonder what this guy's like." And then he comes in and everybody's, there's a little bit of buzz in the church, you know, because not only are we looking to get our next minister, but we're also like, who is this guy? Right? We've got a profile and then he comes in and we're going, we're trying to, you know, get, what have you heard about him? Anybody know about Andy Galbraith? If anybody knows about Andy Galbraith, it's too late, by the way, okay? Only good news will be received. And he's had a great testimony so far from anybody or anything I've heard. And he did a great job when he came. But the point I'm making is we were wanting head knowledge. We'd met him and interviewed him. We'd got a little bit of connection. But in the front row, sticking out like sore thumbs, with big eyes and head-like faces, was the family of Andy Galbraith. His wife and his 3 teenage children. And everybody in the church is going, "Oh, look at them." Youth pastors getting excited because 3 more teenagers to the youth. Great. Women are going, "Oh, don't know about the makeup. What about the hair? Just checking them out." No. But the only people who really, really know Andy Galbraith in the church is the family. Doesn't matter whether he's called or not. I had a conversation with the eldest son after the morning and sort of joked trying to make, because they were looking a little bit awkward and people were trying to come up and the phrase we use in our church is mug them with love. Just come up and be nice to them and make them feel welcome. But, you know, they are like, you know, what are we doing here? Are we moving to this church? Because if they do, it'll happen in a relatively short period of time. And so I said, "Well, how do you think your dad got on? He said, "Well, yeah, I think he did okay." He says, "But, you know, I don't really pay that much attention to him because he's my dad, right?" But what he's actually communicating is, "I know this guy. He's my dad. I know him. I have a relationship with him. He brought me up. He encouraged me. He maybe chastised me, but I have a relationship with him. I know him. And the knowledge in the Bible is about knowing him. It's not about encyclopedic knowledge of verses. If that was true, and that was all that was true, then John 8:32 would permeate through our churches like a contagion. We would be free people because we do know the truth, and the truth sets us free. Even the lovely Kingsway people are tend to be as much word as they are spirit in their teaching and their application. We're all word people, really, in Northern Ireland. And if we just have it in the head and don't have it in the heart, then the truth of the gospel doesn't come true. We don't have life in all its fullness. So what he's communicating here, what Peter is saying here, we are equipped for everything through knowledge of him. Relationship. All my springs are in you. I know you. We are not equipped with head knowledge. We are equipped with spiritual application. That's the invitation. We are equipped not presuming to know, but experiencing true spiritual reality. Those guys, those teenagers, it's my dad in the pulpit. Actually, I don't know whether it's necessarily a good sermon or not. It's my dad. I love him. So how much more for our Father in heaven? That's the invitation. Everything we need through knowledge of him. We are equipped for everything. Equipped for everything by his divine power, through knowledge of him. We are equipped for everything by his very great and precious promises. If he says it, it must be attainable. It must be attainable. Otherwise, God is a liar. If the truth is available to us and we can know the truth and truth can set us free, then it must be on the table. Otherwise, it's just lies. It's got to be there. It's got to be accessible. So we have everything we need for forgiveness and salvation. And if you tonight have found yourself sitting in this building, listening, wondering what in the world is going on, and you don't know Jesus Christ, tonight's the night. This is the real deal. This is the real invitation. And for the rest of you, it's the real deal and it's the real invitation. We need to raise the bar on receiving the truth of that. His very great and precious promises. Come now, Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Isaiah 53:5-6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He has paid the price for everything. Everything. Our yesterdays, our today's, our tomorrow's. And we really, 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 really need to get over ourselves. We need to get over the fact that for some of us, we believe we have personal unforgivableness. That somehow, John 3:16, he came and died for the world, but I really blew it. Or you don't know my situation. Or maybe it's snow, but it's, you know, that the snow that's sort of going a wee bit off and it's got bits of grit and things like that there. That's not what's on offer. That is not what is on offer. Let us access everything that he has done. We have everything for forgiveness and salvation. We have everything we need to know. John 15:15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Everything, everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And we have everything for authority and power. Matthew 28:18. Jesus says to him, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go. He commissions them. He releases them with his power and his authority. Luke 9 verse 1, it says, he called the 12 together and he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons. Not just the easy ones, all demons. Not just the ones that people want to have sort of sorted out and identified and want to get rid of. All demons. Okay, because it's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead to have authority and power over everything. All authorities and powers, all dominions, to cure all diseases, not some, all. That's the offer, that's the invitation, that's the power and the authority that we have. And certainly in our journey as a ministry, we are seeing more evidence of healings, more evidence of deliverance, because we are starting to get a vision, an expectation, an intention to accept this invitation that we are equipped for everything. And we don't have to go, well, I don't know about that. Ooh, they're really sick. Ooh. We're getting past that. And as we get past that, we are seeing more and more fruit. We're seeing more people being healed. We're seeing more people being delivered. We're seeing more demonic manifestations in our midst, because as the Spirit comes in power, they can't hide. We have everything for everything. Paul says in Philippians 4, 9-13, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. On the Amplified Version, I have the strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Are you getting inflamed? Are you getting pummeled? Are you getting convicted? The invitation on the table. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. My grace is sufficient for you. Look it up in the dictionary, it says, or in the thesaurus, enough, plenty of, ample, adequate, satisfactory. We are equipped for everything. We are equipped for everything by His divine power. We are equipped for everything through knowledge of Him. We are equipped for everything by His very great and precious promises. We are equipped for everything to participate in His divine nature. Or in other translations, to share, to partake in His divine nature. Everything for maturity. Ephesians 4, 11-13. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. The full measure. Everything. Maturity is on the table. That's the call. That's the invitation. And we have everything, and we have even more than everything. John 14, 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. This is Jesus speaking. Even greater things? Even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father, and I'm going to send my Spirit so that we can do greater things. And it goes on, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything. Anything. In my name, and I will do it. Now, there's a little bit of digging in that, because the key to the release of that is that we need to do it in His name. We need to do it according to His will. But if we get it in His name and according to His will, we are on it. We get the access. We can do even greater things. Why? Because Jesus Christ hasn't been to BCM in Glengold Street. Not physically. He has by His Spirit. That's why He went to release the Spirit on His people, pour it out in Pentecost, so that we might have the divine power and partake, share with the divine nature. And we all know the glorious verses in Ephesians 3:14. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We are equipped for everything. So here's the kicker. Here's the question. If we are equipped for everything, where's the disconnect? Why don't we have churches, the body of Christ, just running amok in the kingdom of darkness here, near and far? If we have everything, where's the disconnect? Why does it not work? What's not happening? What's wrong? Because it says in Scripture, it says in His Word, that we are equipped for everything. So where's the disconnect? Why are we missing our inheritance and full spiritual reality? If we are equipped for everything, where is the everything? Where is John 10:10? Where is the abundance, life and all its fullness? Where is it? And we're not talking about self-improvement. We're not talking about some guide to help me have a better life. We're talking about the followers of Jesus and his body having everything they need to fulfill their call, the full shebang, to be what we are called and commissioned to be, carriers and bringers, carriers of his presence and bringers of his kingdom, and thwarting the plans and purposes of Satan in lives that we meet in the street, in our churches, wherever we might go. How have we missed this? How have we ended up like the elder brother in the story of the prodigal, when the father comes in, he goes, "My son, you're always with me and everything I have is yours." How did we miss that? How did we miss that? And can we really plead ignorance? Because in John 16:13 it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." And in John 14:25-26, it says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name, that I will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." We are equipped for everything. But there's a disconnect. And the disconnect is from the usual suspects. Postmodernism. The only truth is that there is no absolute truth. Which means his great and precious promise as well, you know, that's open to debate, suspicion, doubt. Then there's the worldview. Where we've come from, what has influenced it. Maybe the churches and denominations that we attended that, well, you know, same old, it's the way it was, and we don't do that now, and that was then. And lack of wholeness. We are not able to get past the nature of our personality and our past and present experiences in life. So we're very subjective about. Unbelief. I'm on a personal crusade. Unbelief. If I smell it, if I see it, I'm going to kill it. Okay? I want you to get a hold of that. If you sniff it, why am I struggling with this? It's unbelief. Kill it. Get rid of it, because it sucks the life out of you. It adds to the disconnect. It separates us from the promise. And as our eyes of faith start to open, I've suddenly realized that he's everywhere. You know, I could be standing in church worshiping, and I suddenly go, what's going on here? Unbelief is standing beside me. How did that get there? I didn't see it. I just inherited it or assumed it. Or, you know, I felt because I wasn't feeling very well. I really wasn't up to worship today, you know, because, you know, I'm tired. You know, watched that film last night, just pooped. It's unbelief. Kill it. Be looking for it. Get your eyes of faith open to see. And as you see it, suddenly you see, there's unbelief, and unbelief is scurrying into the corner. Kill it. It's a wee bit funny, but unbelief, here, present, if it's in your hearts, if it's in your minds, just go now in Jesus' name. We have no unbelief here. We do not want to entertain it. We do not want to partner with it. We do not want to accept it. We say unbelief in this place. Go right here and right now. In Jesus' name, no unbelief. I've been on a journey, some of you heard of it, in experiencing God when I've shared the messages. Went to South Korea a year and a half ago. Went to China 6 months ago. Just got this expansion about faith. Just blew my mind. And as it happened, especially in China, we saw indifference, which is another culprit. Just, you know, well, just, it's not there. Now, I've said before and I said again, China is a very big place, okay? We weren't everywhere, all right? It has a, I think the population is 832 times bigger than Northern Ireland, all right? So we didn't get everywhere. We were only there for 10 days. But we got a couple of places and there was no indifference in the room. There was no indifference in the room. People were receiving God in different ways. The Spirit was coming in power in some people. Some people were receiving, but there was no indifference in the room. It wasn't there. If you're feeling indifferent tonight, tell it to go. You kill that too. No indifference. You've come to experiencing God. You've come to experience God. So if you come to experiencing God, the event, maybe you should apply what it says on the tin. Experience God. Don't be indifferent. Don't have anything to do with it. Don't entertain it. Don't sit down with it. Take whatever weapon is appropriate to you. I just find the shotgun thing works for me as far as unbelief goes. And anything else that comes my way, kill it. I'm not going to be indifferent tonight. When I get a call for ministry, I'm going to come forward. I haven't really done it very often. I'm going to do it. Or I'm always up for it. Whatever it is, no indifference. And then there's little faith. Not unbelief, just little faith. Look, I'm on this journey and I'm not too sure. And I'm here with these people. It's the first time here and I'm actually wondering what I've done now that I'm here. But I'm just, it's not unbelief, but it's just a little bit of, I'm stepping out in faith. But it's just a little bit of faith. Well, Scripture says, just a little bit of faith. Size of mustard seed, it's okay. God's okay with that. If you've got a little bit of faith, He can work with that. But our sight is dim. In Revelation 3:18, the Spirit says to the churches, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes, so you can see. Receive the salve tonight in Jesus' name. There is salve tonight to let the little faith grow, to let the eyes be clear, to be able to see with eyes of faith. And regardless of these culprits, regardless of these different things that get in our way, the result is the same. We do not live like we have everything we need, that we are equipped for everything. We do not live in the reality of that. We scramble for scraps as paupers or bottom feeders underneath the table. We do not access the truth, the invitation, and the reality of a Word and Spirit-filled life, rooted in the Word of God with a credible Holy Spirit activity in us and around us and through us. We are subjective and we are subjected to our environment. We don't need to sit on the floor. We don't need to sit under the table and pick up the scraps under the weight of compromise, play safe, fear, long-standing tradition which drugs and emasculates the people of God from the power of God. We don't need to be about that because we have everything we need. We are equipped for everything. That's the invitation. That's the promise. That's what it says, and that's what is available. We are equipped for everything. We are equipped. But our perspective is all wrong. And when I say this, I've said this before, Romans 8 verse 1, it is not in condemnation or judgment. It is in personal experience and applied to myself, and I'm still applying it, but we've got our perspective all wrong. Let me demonstrate for you. We need to see more clearly. Now, if we've got our perspective all wrong, I can't even use these binoculars. And actually, as I stand here, I can see every single person from this side to this side through these one lens of the binocular or the other, but I can't see it through two. My perspective is all wrong. Because I'm going bottom up, not top down. I'm thinking of my indifference or unbelief, or, look, you don't know the church I go to. Or you don't know the troubles I have. My work situation is really bad. Perspective's wrong. The perspective is wrong. We're seeing, but we're seeing dimly. It's like, let me, my hand looks about 30 feet long there, out there. But if I swivel it round, whoa, I can even take my glasses off. Let's see if we can see. There's Alan in the back row with his hand up there, and his head takes up about 50% of what I'm seeing. And I realise either I have the spirit on me or I have a lot of adrenaline because everybody else is bumping up and down because I can't hold it. But I can see everybody really clearly, and I can then focus it and bring it right up to the front row here. Whoa, Tracy. And I can see the time clearly, really clearly. I can see because I've got the perspective right. And as I get the perspective right, then everything changes. So my sense of 2014, that it was a year of perspective. It's a year of getting perspective, getting revelation, the truth that will set you free, that we are equipped for everything. So there's revelation and then there's vision. And when we get the vision, we realize, actually, I can see, and my faith starts to rise. I can see what is on the table. I can see partly. My perspective has changed. I have vision now. I can see. And as I get my sight, then the light comes. The light comes and I can see the path. Psalm 119, 105. He is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I can see where I'm going. I can see the table. I can see the supply. I can see the path. I can see where I'm going. So if we're equipped for everything, but there is a disconnect, what is our application? If it's not working, don't settle for the scraps. Do not settle for the scraps when we can have the supply, the fullness of what He has on offer. Do not settle for the scraps. And if you're not getting enough, get some. How do you get some? Just get some, because the offer is on that you are equipped for everything, so you can get everything you need. Well, how do I do that? Get some. Well, how do I do that? Get some. How do I do that? Just get some. Get connected. Get equipped. Get the supply. Get the Holy Spirit. As we do that, it all starts to come into focus. I can see. I have access. I don't have to be looking for stale bread or crumbs. I can sit at the table and feast. I am equipped for everything. Not for me, for Him, His glory, and to influence the world as I join with the body of Christ, who are also equipped for everything. Whatever that happens to be. To get our own lives sorted out. To get other people sorted out. To get the nunchucks or the sword or whatever you want, or the gifts of the Spirit to speak release into people's lives, to prophesy, to bring the gifts of healing, the miraculous, equipped for everything. Well, how do you get some? Just get some. Well, that's not very helpful. I'm just trying to be sort of draw you here. I'm trying to pummel you. I'm trying to inflame you. I'm trying to get you convicted. We all know the verses. We all know how it works. Luke 11, ask, seek, knock. We know how that works. In the Amplified Version, it says, ask and keep on asking to get some. Seek and keep on seeking to get some. Knock and keep on knocking to get some, because the invitation's on the table and I'm disconnected from this and it's not working. So get some. That's the invitation. That's what's on the table. That's the promise. Get some. And because he's a good father, he will give us his Holy Spirit. And he says, if you fathers who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit? We are equipped for everything by his divine power. Not enough divine power? Get some. We are equipped for everything we need in relationship. If we're not getting the connection with God, if we don't feel that we're in a relationship, get some. Get connected. Ask him. Ask, Holy Spirit, I'm not feeling this. Says your grace is sufficient. I'm not getting this. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just not getting it. Give me some. My testimony is that is a life verse for me. I have prayed it everywhere, all over the world where I've been places. I'm going, your grace is sufficient, and I'm not feeling it. I'm not saying it in condemnation or accusation to God. I'm saying I want to be equipped, and I ain't getting it at the moment. And my truth and my testimony is that 99 times out of 100, nothing significantly changes in the environment. That's the honest truth. I can't give you a story, and then, you'll never believe it, but it's true. Something miraculous happened. My situation's completely changed. But when I asked him, your grace is sufficient, I need your grace, his grace comes. It's sufficient. It's okay. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know whether, I just don't know. But this I know, his grace is sufficient. And I get, because I'm in relationship with him, knowledge of him, connection with him, it's real. It works. It's sufficient. I have everything I need. I am equipped. We need to be after his divine power. We need to get some. We need to be after our relationship and our knowledge of him and get some. And as he leads us into all truth of his great and precious promises, get some. If you're not that familiar with the Bible, get some. Have you seen the statistics for the amount of time that we spend watching TV on our... I was actually walking down the mall, and today I work in Bow Street Mall, and I was coming out of work, and there's a couple, and it was just like a classic domestic situation, right? So the mother's going, Billy or Eamon or whatever, where are you, where are you? And the father's standing a little bit disengaged, like doing his phone. And she goes, if you stop looking at that phone and pay some attention, we wouldn't have lost him. And he was like, just scurried somewhere else. We spend so much time doing that. Not really into the Word of God. Well, how's the promise working for you then? Could it be connected that I don't know the Word? So I'm actually submitted to postmodernism. But actually, if I knew the Word, and actually knew the Father that actually makes a promise, that how much more will he give us his Holy Spirit? Because the evil fathers know how to give things to their children, so how much more? If I don't know that, how's that working for me? I reckon with the storms of life, not very well. Get some. That not for us, that we might partake, that we might participate, that we might share with his divine nature. And if you're not feeling, if you're feeling well, you know, those people at the front, they're in the ministry team and I don't get to do much, get some. I dare you, I provoke you, I call you, I compel you, I convict you, go get some, because there's no excuse, because it says in his word that we are equipped for everything. It says in his word that all can prophesy. It says in his word that he released believers to cast out all demons because they had the authority and the power to do so. So if there's a disconnect, don't blame him. Get some. Get some. That's the invitation. Don't settle for the scraps when we can have the full supply. We can be equipped for everything. You know, one of the profound pleasures and joys, oh thank you, of being the director of the intern program, most of the time, is that I get to read lots and lots of book reports. Part of the intern program is that they have study material, maybe there are some of the audios at the back, and their books, and they have to read them, and then they submit a book report. One side of the book report, or one part of the book report, is a general summary of the content to teach the interns how to get this information, process it, and be able to articulate it again. And the other side of it is the personal reflection that people have. And yet again, I was reading a book report this week, and I start to cry. I get all emotional because I can see this. I can see people who are coming and they're in this wrestle, that they're coming from this postmodern, and they're killing all these things around, and they're trying to work it out. They realize that maybe they're timid or they're self-conscious, or they don't know whether they can do it, and they shoot that off because they're hearing the truth, and they're getting impacted by the truth, and they're experiencing the Holy Spirit, and they're changing and they're being transformed from glory to glory to glory. That's a bit over the top, don't you think? I don't think so. You should check out some of these book reports. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Where people came from, their experience, their difficulty, and to see them grow. That's the testimony that I see. That's the testimony that we want to have in these meetings, that people come and they go after the truth. They go after the Word and they go after the Spirit, and they're transformed in that connection as the truth sets them free. On to what? On to everything for the manifesto. What's the manifesto? Luke 4:18 or Isaiah 61. Jesus stood up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," on us. On us. "Because he has anointed me," anointed us. Anointed us. "To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me," sent us, "to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Everything for the manifesto, everything for maturity, everything for ministry, equipped for everything, that we might have the character of Jesus Christ and also minister in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ here, near, and far. Tonight, get some. Whatever it takes, get some. Whatever you need, get some. Get equipped. Just get some. Get inflamed. Get stirred, get convicted, but get some. Johnny, do you want to come forward? Please stand with me. I have some questions for your response, and I would really encourage you. What we encourage at ministry time here is that people will just present themselves. Step up to whatever he has to do. This is a safe place. He wants to give us something because he's a Father who wants to pour his Spirit out on us and to us. So to help you to do that and to help you respond, I have some questions for your response. Do you want a greater revelation, an encounter of the God who equips for everything? Do you want a divine exchange and a change of perspective from scraps to supply? Do you want to get connected, get equipped, get supply, get Holy Spirit? If you can answer yes to any of those questions, I would really encourage you to come forward. We're going to come forward, we're going to worship for a time, and we're going to get some from the God who equips us for everything.